ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. Didn't get to the college football playoff odds. I want to talk about those just a little bit. Pretty interesting the way that Vegas views the different ways that Vegas views how the playoff committee is ranking these teams. We'll hit that. Got some high school football matchups to talk about with the Elks and Grove. All the 4A games are pretty good for the most part. A couple in Class A. We'll have Burnside Deal City head coach Jacob Schneeberger on at 9:20. Talk about his matchup with Elmore City Purnell. Also look back to the way that the Eagles were able to get past Mangum in the first round. So 9:20, we'll have Coach Schneeberger of Burns Flat on with us. At the top of the show, reports out yesterday about Lincoln Riley to LSU. Some dollar figures were put out there. We'll talk about that. Kind of rank the jobs that are open, the top six of them anyway, Virginia Tech, USC, TCU, LSU, and both Washington and Washington State. And then also yesterday, the Big 12, Big Bad Bob Bowlesby comes out with a reprimand and suspension of Texas Tech's radio crew for what they said during the Iowa State game last week. I have some sound from that. Pretty wild. We'll get into right here off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in, 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show, log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has everything with radio, Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, all of it right there in the Paragon app. We also have the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to a certain show to see what we had to say about a certain topic. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Hey, speaking of the text line, question, what happened to the signal on 1240? Tower got hit by lightning and we're waiting on parts to fix it. It's been a long process.
Like everything else in the in the world, we are waiting on supplies.
Waiting on supplies to be able to fix that is the problem with the 1240 signal. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. I'm real well. How are you doing? I'm physically getting ready for tomorrow. My throat is. Now you have a remedy, honey tea, hot honey tea.
That's what I
with maybe a little lemon in there, maybe
lemon and thieves. Actually, my wife made me put a drop of thieves oil.
Well, my wife does that too. In there. So I know
I had
she has
thieves, I had lemon, and I had honey, and I already feel the difference. I think
really,
and I resisted the thieves part of it. But I think that's the most, just one drop, though, because it'll mess up the taste. I mean, lemon honey tea is pretty delicious.
Sure it is,
but
yes.
The thieves kind of makes it a little bit wonky. Just one drop. I put like 3 or 4 drops of the lemon and then some honey. And I think it's made a definite difference.
Good.
With the way my throat feels. So I would that's go, I would go do. With that. I would go with the lemon honey tea with a little thieves.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do that. It's just... Yeah. Like everybody else out here, the wind is kicking up dust and whatever is the high allergy, starter. That's what I got. So dealing with that, but I'll get through it.
All right. So yesterday, 2 or 3 o'clock or so, some guy named J-Boy, who does a radio show with his hat on backwards.
J-Boy.
J-Boy's show decided that J-Boy. He... was going to report LSU has made an offer, 8 years, $96 million to Lincoln Riley. And oh, by the way, if Lincoln Riley leaves, guess who he's taking? Caleb Williams to be the quarterback. Now listen, nobody knows who J-Boy Show is,
exactly.
But here's the interesting thing. Colin Cowherd, of all people, retweeted this.
Uh-huh.
So of course it gets national traction. Oh my Lord. Oh, he's falling apart. What's wrong? Something's rotten to the core. And about 20 minutes later, Bruce Feldman, who I'm guessing called Lincoln Riley or texted him and said, what is this? And he goes, nothing. And so Bruce Feldman basically poured cold water on the idea that Lincoln Riley was headed to LSU. I mean, just at the surface, 12 million is $12 million a year. So that's a huge pay increase, right? I mean, huge, because Riley's making 7.67 right now. So it's, I mean, it's $4.5 million increase.
Sure.
So that would make anybody think, wait a minute, that's quite a pay bump. And then also in his report, of course, he had to throw in the caveat that Oklahoma would not match it to make it look more realistic, like it could happen.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. Right.
But I mean, just right off the surface, I mean, listen, at best, that's a lateral move for Lincoln Riley. At worst, it's a clear step down. I mean, whatever you want to think about, Oklahoma is one of the best five programs of all time in college football. It's not really a debate on who those five are. It's USC. It's Alabama. It's Oklahoma or Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. And those are the five that are above everybody else. And then you have some Johnny come lately. Yeah, okay, LSU's won three titles since OU's won one. That's fine. What about before? You know what I'm saying? I mean, with LSU specifically, then you tie in just the craziness of what goes on down there. Think about this. They fired two head coaches that have won that school a national championship within like 18 months of each other.
Yeah. Yeah, if this was a place that had longevity of coaches, like OU has that history, Alabama right now. Like if this was, you know, change the names from LSU to Alabama, then that I'd be shaking in my boots as OU fans. Like, yeah, that could be a thing, but because of what you just said, they you're going to go there just to get fired 2-3 years later because you didn't produce a national title. You know what I mean? So that's endless, and they throw all the numbers. And I think that's what makes OU a more attractive destination because of – and I think that's why those are the type of coaches OU tries to go get, is guys that aren't going to use OU as a stepping stone or leave them flapping in the wind. But
– well, it's because it's not.
It's not.
It's a destination job.
It is. Joel Klatch, you see what he said?
Uh-uh.
You have to look up what he said. He was on was it Cowherd?
Yeah, he was on there yesterday, I know for sure, but I didn't see it.
Talking about this very topic, about OU and the Lincoln Riley rumors and all this, and he had mentioned that, you know, he compared it to, actually it was Cowherd who compared OU to like a Pittsburgh Steelers.
Like the Steelers, yeah.
Because they've had how many coaches in their history?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's had three in 50 years.
There you go.
Right.
You know, no, sure, there's been the John Blake and Schnellenberger, Gibbs. But for the most part, you got your Bud, you got your Barry, you got your Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lincoln is going to be the next one that could be here.
Yeah, over 70 years, you've basically had four coaches.
Yeah, so it is a
– with a few strung in the middle.
That's what – and listen, I get it. I get the mentality in the SEC. We're about to figure that out here in the next few years. And you would hope that OU wouldn't come to that mentality too. But I get it. It's a win-now culture. It's if what have you done for me lately culture. It's always chasing Alabama. If we can't do what they're doing, then we're doing it wrong. We need someone else to do it right. And I get that. You know, it happens in Auburn. Obviously LSU. The list goes on and on. It's about to happen in Florida again. But I think that in some ways is kind of handcuffs them of, you know, they want a guy. You know, they want the Jimbo Fishers. They want the Lincoln Riley. But in the back of their minds, they're thinking, God, A&M loves me here. They love what I'm doing right now. Why would I leave that to go over there to potentially get fired in the next 2 to 3 seasons?
Yeah, because LSU loved Eddie O 18 months ago.
Exactly. Same thing about Lincoln. Lincoln's like, hey, mm-hmm. It might be bad here. I've only lost one game this season. You know, and I got a good thing going here. Why would I jump ship here to go to LSU? And if I don't produce, you know, think about it. If OU had the same mentality as LSU, Lincoln Riley would have been fired by now.
That's right.
So.
That's exactly
he's,
right.
He's sitting pretty right now. And listen, the whole J-Boy stuff, it's all about, let me see if I could. Clicks.
Yeah.
It's all about clicks.
Yeah, and then
he heard somebody over talking in a loud bar in Baton Rouge and he took it for fact and he went and he said, this is what I heard. Sources tell me. It's a sad state of affairs. That's what we're doing with media now.
I think Drew hit it right on the head with his text in. If OU was stuck in the Big 12, then I could see something weird like that happening. But since Oklahoma's headed to the SEC, it makes it nonsense. I 100% agree with that thought. Because that's the only real thing that the LSU job would have over OU, is to be able to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
Well, that's taken away with the move that's coming here in the next year or two.
Right, and you're going to see, I believe, in Texas too, I think you'll see a boost in recruiting where you can say, hey, listen, by the time you get on campus, we're going to have that SEC patch on our shoulder.
That's going to be interesting to see, because right now A&M is poised with this class and what's coming to really kind of start dominating Texas recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Does that continue when Oklahoma and Texas are in the same conference?
Yeah,
because right now there's a huge advantage to A&M.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
As far as
getting
selling.
Those Texas kids.
That's right. And even kind of moving into
the Southeast as well.
And
Louisiana kids, absolutely.
Yeah, they got Walter Nolan from Tennessee. He's the number one player in the nation, yeah. Defensive lineman.
But when A&M was in the same conference with OU and Texas, they were getting out recruited by OU and Texas.
It's funny, the difference here is the fans are spoiled. The difference, I mean, down there, I don't know if it's spoiled or just crazy.
It's a little bit of both.
But, to compare, you know, Oklahoma fans, sure, they're upset, but no one that is rational is yelling about firing Lincoln Riley at this moment.
Right.
Whereas
LSU literally
just did it with a coach that won the national championship in 2019. It's an unbelievable thought that just happened, but it did. And so, I mean, to leave the stability of Joe Castiglione and the Oklahoma job. And like you said, I think Coward makes a really good comparison there with Pittsburgh. In the small amount of coaches that have had a whole bunch of success, I mean, you know, Oklahoma is still the only place that's had four different coaches win 100 games, and that'll be five if Lincoln Riley stays long enough to do it.
And I don't know the administration personnel at LSU, but another big reason that OU is attractive is Joe C has been here for how long?
Before Stoops, yeah, what, 97
his,
or 8?
Yeah, his biggest hire was Stoops, one of his first big hires, and. And, you know, obviously the presidents have changed, but the stability there, you know, when you're answering to one guy and he's, and you could trust, like, listen, he hired Bob. He's been around for so long. He knows what makes this work, and he works with you. That helps too. Not, again, I don't know what the administration stability is like at LSU, but I think one thing, you know, it is attractive at LSU. Their compliance office pretty much turns a blind eye to everything. You want to hand out $100 bills after wins? Go ahead.
Yeah.
We won't step on your toes. Do what you got to do to get that guy on campus.
Yeah, that's a great point that I just got sent. Barry Switzer said it best. More people want the job at Oklahoma than whatever job you're leaving for, that you would leave Oklahoma for.
Yeah. I've heard that.
I mean, it's just the case. Hey, right quick before we get Coach Schneeberger on, rank those jobs. So it's USC, LSU, Washington, TCU, Virginia Tech, and Washington State.
We got the Washingtons, USC.
LSU, TCU, Virginia Tech.
TCU, VTech. USC has to be number one, right?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
Blue blood and location?
I think so, but I wonder if location isn't working against them just a little bit with mass exodus from California, just as a state.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But I think as a football job, yes, USC won.
Yeah,
I think the top tier is simple.
The right hire can make that thing great again.
100%.
It happened.
We saw it right
Pete
here.
Pete Carroll.
Well, Pete Carroll, you see it at any of those five blue bloods that I just mentioned. When the right guy comes in, it doesn't matter who was before. It doesn't matter how bad the situation was. It turns around really fast.
My next one is going to be odd. No one's going to agree with it. Story of my life. TCU, because of the location. Because I take into consideration the NIL.
Yeah, LSU is clearly number two.
Oh, I'm sorry. LSU was in that list?
Yes.
I'm sorry. See, I didn't write it down. We just talked about them. LSU, then TCU.
Okay.
LSU, TCU, Virginia Tech.
Whoa.
Yeah. I got Virginia Tech above Washington.
Whoa.
You got Washington State somewhere in the middle there?
Washington State last.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Just because of location, for sure. I've got USC, LSU, Washington, TCU, Virginia Tech, Washington State.
Okay.
TCU, Washington's an interesting debate because of what you said. with the NIL being right there in the Metroplex.
Right there in the Metroplex.
But
then TC, but
Washington,
if that's
been,
the case, then SMU is a real attractive job too.
Well,
right?
Yeah, no, that's how much does that matter? I had an interesting conversation with Tyler Harrison last night over text.
I don't believe you.
About why there isn't as many really good teams this year.
I have theories.
We can hit that. We got plenty of time at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Talk about the rest of this. The Texas Tech radio crew stuff is phenomenal. College football playoff odds. There's lots of different things to get into, but
we should be suspended a lot if they're suspended for
a round. No, it's pretty crazy. Second round of the high school football playoffs coming up tomorrow night, and there will be a Class A second rounder over in Burns Flat, Deal City, with Elmore City Purnell coming out to play the Eagles. Joining us now is Burns Flat head coach Jacob Schneeberg. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, man, we're doing good. Let's start with last week. Just when we were kind of keeping track of the score, 28-22 at half, and then you guys pulled away. What helped you guys kind of pull away from Mangum there in the second half to notch the second win over the Tigers this season?
Well, I felt like our offense was pretty consistent the whole game. You know, our kids offensively, you know, took over the game with just being physical, you know, from the very start. But it seemed like it took us a half to play up to the physicality level that we needed to play to on defense, you know, to get some stops. You know, Mangum was really fast, and so we're playing minus one in the box, and so they were getting their, you know, run the ball a little bit on us in the first half, and second half some kids stepped up and played a little better, and we got a few stops.
You know, it's interesting to look back just at the scores that against Mangum. They only gave up 30 three times, and two of them were to you, and it was over 50 both games against those guys. Why did your team match up so well against Mangum's defense?
Well, I just think we're big and physical. You know, we cover people up and drive our feet. And we've got two runners that run the ball really, really hard. You know, and our QB run game is pretty good. Our running back does a great job of blocking. He's almost like a fullback for us. So, you know, really, you'd think, you know, when a team scores 50, they're doing all this, you know, fancy stuff. Mm-hmm. But really, we just ran the ball right at them and covered people up and ran hard.
And now you get to host a home game, but it's going to be a tough one against Elmore City Purnell. Before we really break that one down, how big is it? How big of a boost is it for your guys to know you get to play on that field one more time this season?
Oh yeah, it's awesome. We played pretty good at home. It's a comfortable place for us to play. You kind of get into a rhythm playing there. You know, as many times, you know, you get to play at home. I think that's the same for every team. So, you know, it's big to not have to travel, you know, 2.5-3 hours and be in a different place and all that. And, you know, we get to go into our locker room at halftime and make adjustments. So, yeah, it's a big deal. And I'm happy for the seniors that they get to play, you know, again at home. So hopefully we can take care of business.
You know, you guys as coaches always talk about just continuing to get better week in, week out, even clear into the playoffs. You know, just you got to keep getting better. You got to, you know, to try to reach the full potential of a team. How did you see that out of your guys last week as far as just kind of getting better as the season's gone along?
Well, you know, we beat Mangum earlier in the year, and it was pretty close to the same score as what we beat them this last week. You know, I think Mangum had gotten better throughout the year. You know, I think obviously we have too. We played a really clean game. The first time we didn't play so clean against Mangum, but they had some, you know, I think they threw like four interceptions the first game. We played an extremely clean game against Mangum last week. We executed well. Had a few too many penalties, stopped a drive of ours. But for the most part, you know, we didn't turn the ball over. We are really high percentage in our passing game. We ran the ball well, you know, and we got some stops and some key spots where we needed to get stops. So, I felt like we've got better, you know. So, you know, for what it's worth, I just think we played a really clean game, and I'm hoping we could do that again this week.
All right, now let's look at this game. Elmore City, Purnell coming in at 10-1, and from the looks of it, just looking at their record, pitching, what, five shutouts in there out of their 10 wins. Tough team coming to town, but what have you seen from them, and how do you exploit them?
Well, you know, they do not have any weaknesses. They are, you know, they've got some kids that are fast and can move, and then they've got, you know, some physical kids playing linebacker, you know, running back, fullback, stuff like that are physical and fast. And then they got, you know, big boys up front. You know, none of them are just like real slow or anything. So they've got athletes all across the board. They got all different kinds of athletes, you know. So I think the big thing is they don't have any weaknesses. You know, I feel that's kind of how we are too. So, you know, we're just, like I said, you know, we're going to try to play a super clean game, execute on offense, get key stops on defense, maybe try to force a turnover. And, you know, I expect it to be a tight game, and, you know, hopefully we could step up and win one.
If I ask you right now, and, you know, if you tell me something Friday night that had to go right for your team to come away with a win, what would maybe that one or two things be that have to go right in order for the Eagles to win in round two?
Yeah, I think we got to be able to stop the run, and we got to not turn the ball over. Can't be turning the ball over, giving up possessions, and then we've got to be able to compete against them, you know, and stop the run.
Simple enough. That's a coach answer, man. You got to give us something else.
Man, y'all make fun of coaches about these answers, but it's true every time, man. We got to be able to stand up to them physically, because they're athletic and they're big and physical, and so we got to be able to stand up. If you can't stop someone from running the ball, you're not going to win many games. And then if you're giving them three extra possessions, man, you're out of luck on that deal.
And people say football's hard, but it's simple. You just do what he says.
Well, you know, I tell my kids all the time, it's simple, but it is not easy.
That's,
you know, it's simple to know what to do, but it is not easy. So. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And here's the deal. They're called cliches for a reason, because most of the time they're true. if you don't stop the run and you turn it over, you're not going to win very many times. That's just the truth.
Yeah. You know, it would have probably been something different against Mangum, mm-hmm. You know, but it'd probably be two other cliches against Mangum, just a different style. So.
Well, it sounds like to me then there's not as much contrast of styles from last week. They kind of do what you guys do, and you kind of do what they do, and we'll just see who's better at it.
Yeah, basically, you know, they like to pressure people on defense and play man. You know, we're more of read blocks, and we play zone on defense, but our offenses are similar, you know, and both teams get after it, and so, you know, it's going to be a good game, and I just hope we could win a tight one.
Well, man, thanks so much for joining us.
I got one more question.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay,
you know,
go ahead.
We need some more clicks on our podcast like this J-Boy does when he's putting out that Lincoln Riley is going to LSU. Can you answer the rumors that you're going to take the Swazoo job?
No, I am the head coach at Burns Flatfield City.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I should boost our ratings.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I know that one of our ladies up front that works the Penny News has a kid that plays offense and defense on your side, on your squad as well. Candace Klute's son there. Playing offensive defense for you guys, so she always. That's one extra podcast listener we get every
time. There
we go.
Yeah,
that we have you on.
Well, he's a great kid. He might be the best kid we have. He's committed, and he does whatever we ask of him. I'm super proud of out of him.
We should have had her in here asking the questions.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much for joining us. It's becoming kind of a weekly thing. So you guys get another win, and we'll do it before Turkey Day next week.
Yeah, we were your good luck charm. Yeah.
Sounds good. Hopefully we can do that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You betcha. Head Coach Jacob Schneeberger of the Burns Flat Deal City Eagles at home against Elmore City Purnell coming up 7 o'clock on Friday night. Yeah, that's
a tough ask, but, you know, when you get to host a game like that, You know, when you got Elmore City, Purnell, I don't know where they're at. I'm just going to guess it's a little bit of a drive for them.
I think it's South Central. Is it Oklahoma.
South Central. It tells me Ada. Is it Ada or is it this side of 35?
I think it's this side of 35.
Okay.
Duncan. Okay. Down in that area.
Okay. That's a,
the
that's
Duncan
a
area.
Yeah. That's just a big, you know, I brought that up because that's a big advantage for them. When you, especially it's a boost for them when they think, hey, now we didn't expect to get to play back on our field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get to be in our locker room, you know.
That's the only good thing about finishing fourth in your district. Is if you
upset.
Do upset the a district winner, you're yeah. back at home for round two.
Yeah,
when you look at that district, Ringling, Wayne, Dibble, Winniewood, Healton, Rush Spring, Stratford, that's in that Duncan, Ardmore, yeah. somewhere in there.
Yeah, and you named a lot of good teams too, Ringling especially.
Yeah, that's the only loss Elmore City's had this year was to Ringling. I believe they're the Blue Devils. I went through Ringling last summer. I always kind of wondered exactly where that was. It's kind of west of Ardmore.
West of Ardmore. Okay. I don't think I ever knew either.
It's on a highway down there. Anyway.
Are they the defending champs?
No, Cashin is.
Oh, that's right.
2 years ago, they
Two
beat Cashin in the finals.
Ringling
Last year, Cashin beat Thomas
it
in the finals.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Very good.
Well, it'll be a good one.
We got a good one.
We'll have a good one as well. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock over in Grove.
Yes, we will.
It'll be the Elks and Grove. Man, when you look at these two teams, running backs, this could be the best matchup of running backs across the entire state of Oklahoma on Friday night with Emmanuel Crawford of Grove. He's a junior. He's rushed for right around 2,400 yards, scored over 40 touchdowns. Of course, Daylon Thompson, the senior at Elk City, is 45 shy of $2,000 going into the game on Friday night. Grove's put up a ton of points, averaging 47 a game, the Elks 37. I do think Elk City's got a little bit of an advantage defensively so far this season. The Elks give up an average of 17, Grove an average of 22. But in the 11 games, the Elks have only given up 20 or more four times. Grove's only given up less than 23. And so, you know, we talked last week about the matchup with Cushing, how that was going to go. You know, a lower scoring game probably favored the Elks. I think we're right back to that same thing this week. A little bit of a lower scoring game, you know, a 28 to 21 or something like that. I think that probably favors Elk City. I do feel like the Elks are going to be able to move the ball. The question is, how much can you contain Emmanuel Crawford? And then everything that goes off of that with a quarterback, Carson Trimble, and some guys, especially Hagan Hacker, number two, big, strong, physical guy outside that's made some plays down the field in the passing game.
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, we just talked about cliches, but, you know, he was mentioning how to slow down, or Coach Neyberger was mentioning how to slow down Elmore City. That's almost the same game plan for Elk City. Is you can't let him beat you with the run. You can't. But, you know, he might get his, being Crawford. He's going to, you know, but you just can't let him bust the big ones, which he's always going to be capable of doing. He's a hold-your-breath kind of guy when he gets the football in his hands. Contain him to a point and force Grove, you know, to do things they don't want to do. Again, more cliche talk. But what Elk City is able to do, and they showed it last week, they took a team like Cushing, who was, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but they're kind of a finesse team, and they pushed them up front, pushed them in the mouth, had that quarterback constantly scrambling, and it took them out of their comfort zone. You take Grove out of their comfort zone, meaning you tamper down the run enough, you're going to give yourself a good chance. And I can see the score almost similar like last week. I know we talked, you know, about this off air yesterday, but, you know, get it into the 20s and let your defense go to work. You got a good shot, a real good shot. I feel, this is a bold statement, I feel a little bit more confident about this game outside the fact that we have to travel to damn near Arkansas. And it's a higher-ranked team with the, on paper, seems like more success than Cushing, but I feel more confident in this game than I did last week. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. I don't know if it's overconfidence because of recency bias of how Elk City looked against Cushing. I don't know what it is. But Grove, though, I say on paper they look good. But looking at some of their games, and we've seen some of their film, they had to come back against Wagner, still, you know, and then intentionally threw the game. They had to come back last week against Fort Gibson. They've given up some points against some teams that were okay. Ulligal, they gave up 35. They gave up 27 to Catoosa. It's like an outscoring type offense. That Bristow team that's coming this way, they gave up, I mean, they beat them by six. That just gives me more confidence in our chances.
It, you know what this feels like to me? And the result may not be the same because it's on a different level. But you remember back in 1999, the national title game? It was Virginia Tech against Florida State.
Yeah.
And Virginia Tech had by far the best player in Michael Vick. But Florida State had like the next nine best dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's nine. I'm not saying that. But that's what this feels like. I mean, it. If obviously you don't, because that's the reason why Grove is where they're at. But Crawford makes up such a difference. Like if you pulled, say you pulled him off and pulled Dalen off, the Elks would, I think the Elks would be massive favorites in this game. But that dude is so good that he makes up a big difference. And so, you know, I'm not kidding when I say that if the Elks were able to hold him like to 200 yards rushing and catching on the night, that's a win. And I think the Elks would win the game. He had over 400, almost 400 last week. 299 on the ground, 96 receiving, scored five touchdowns. If those numbers are 200, you know, if those numbers are, you know, 150 and 50 and he scores twice, I think the Elks have a great chance to win. If he gets loose, if Crawford gets it just controls the game, then it's a shootout of which we haven't really seen the Elks fare very well. And as we say every time, every single game, starting well matters because that way the Elks can play the way they want to play.
Yeah.
And you don't have any of that panic to try to catch up.
Right.
So it's going to be a fascinating game. I think the Elks – I'm like you, though. I don't know that last week's test wasn't harder just from the style perspective. And when you look at even the games Elk City's lost, they've really done a good job holding running backs down.
Yeah.
Now, in a couple of the two games they've lost, Powell and Taylor Heim from Bethany really hurt them on the ground from the quarterback spot. Trimble can move around as well. But when you look back at even, you know, the stats that the running backs themselves had in those games – you know, those two guys from Clinton only rushed for like 90 yards combined. That's as good as anybody's done.
Right.
You know, Gilliland from Bethany didn't – I don't even think he cracked 50. You know, Landers, I keep bringing that up, very first game against Pampa, he was in the 40s. So the Elks have done a fine job that way. But this guy is really, really good, Emmanuel Crawford.
Very good. Very good.
Let's look tomorrow at some of the other games around 4A. Obviously, Bristow coming out to Clinton. I've watched some of Bristow in preparation for the Grove game. I mean, it's like that, what do you call it, like the flex bone attack,
yep.
Which I wouldn't figure would have a ton of success against that Red Tornado defense, but there is kind of some deception and misdirection and all that kind of thing with movement and motion and can kind of get guys out of place, I guess. But to me, Bristow is going to have to figure out a way to move the ball on the ground against Clinton, and good luck.
Yeah, and that just comes down to simple assignment football. If you're Clinton, you know, staying in, you know, on your guy, not being deceived as much. And it feels like athlete to athlete, Clinton would be okay in that scenario. But, you know, Bristow, they've scored some points this year. I don't know what happened down at Broken Bow. I feel like the score that much, was it something more so on the – I didn't watch one down of that game, but was it – something going on with Broken Bow? Were they shorthanded? Did it just everything go against them? I don't know. But it, you know, that again, it's going to be disciplined defense. And that's the thing. I mean, this Clinton defense has been so good. It's hard for me to see Bristow put up a lot of points or enough points to try to outscore what Clinton can do on offense.
Yeah, and that way, question on the text line is just one that's, listen, it's on everybody's mind around here. And it's next week. If.
I'm not even looking that far ahead.
If both win, I think there would be a fantastic chance that that game would be at Southwestern. Makes sense, right?
Has to be.
I mean,
just makes sense.
They would have to want to do it, first off. Just top of mind, they would want to have to host it. But I would certainly think that if you're looking for neutral site venues in Western Oklahoma to host an Elk City Clinton game, obviously that one would jump to the very, very top of the list, right, over at Southwestern. So we would find that out surely by Monday when we're back on the air. We would have a pretty good idea of where that game was going to be. But I would think that would be number one on the list, and then there would probably be some other places if that wasn't a possibility, you know, probably closer to Oklahoma City, unfortunately. But, yeah, I would certainly think that just right off the top of my head, Southwestern would seem like the perfect venue for that game if it occurs next week between the Elks and Clinton.
I mean, that's an easy drive for both. I mean, obviously Clinton's closer, but I don't think Elk City would have a problem with that. Just right down I-40.
Maybe. Oh, well, you know what? Look, thinking back on that, maybe we ought to play at Stillwater on Friday night. Last time that game was at Southwestern didn't go very well.
Well, if we're playing at Stillwater on Friday night, should we just stay the night and look for Bedlam tickets?
I would certainly assume so. But anyway, I would imagine that's where it would be if Southwestern wanted it. If not, then you're probably looking at somewhere closer to the city at a bigger high school.
And then I think what you got to take into consideration, and listen, this is a conversation we'll have on, well, we'll know by Monday, wouldn't we? You know, other potential semifinal sites. Does that make sense? Like neutral sites that the OSSA is going to have to find for these other schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might deem that, you know what, it's going to make more sense to put the 3A, one of the 3A semis in Southwestern. And we'll,
yeah, but there's no 3A.
But there was that one
there's
year.
There's no 3A schools out here.
No, my point is there was that one year where Elk and Clinton was at 04 at Norman.
Yeah. But I think there was a different philosophy then than there is now.
Yeah,
of the scheduling. You know, those places are already set as opposed to kind of decide week of. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they kind of got those
for
there.
For our sake, because of tomorrow, I would hope it's Waterford.
Well, I think the good news is no matter if it's not there, it's going to be west of I-35, right?
Sure. Chickasha is an option.
Yeah, I would think, you know, like a UConn, a Mustang. Those
Mustang,
types of places
would
be some of the ones that you might see. But I think for everybody's enjoyment, Southwestern would be the place. Other games in 4A, Tuttle Wagner. You know, this is an interesting one to me because, you know, we keep on mentioning 14-13, Tuttle only beat Blanchard by one. Do you know how Blanchard scored?
Was it a pick six? Or
it was a 99-yard pick six and a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Right.
So that means they didn't
they
score.
They ran a reverse on that touchdown.
Yeah, on the kickoff.
On the kickoff, yes.
Yeah, they did not score an offensive point.
Right.
Interesting, last year, the buzzsaw that was Wagner, the only team that played them within a score was Tuttle in this round in the quarterfinals, up at Wagner 21-14. Can Wagner kind of flip that on its head? Because this is it's pretty weird because it's kind of the perennial power that's kind of down or whatever versus the one that's clearly the favorite to win the gold ball. Except for the roles are just reversed, and obviously the game's in Tuttle this year.
That perennial power being Wagner is supposed to be a rebuilding year. They lost a lot of dudes off that team, a lot of really good
22
players.
Of them.
Yeah. But, you know, Condit, he has a system there, and it looks like, you know, we talk about getting better as the season goes on. That appears how, you know, ever since that Bristow loss, they seem to have gotten better and better. And then what I've seen as of late is they get a quick start, but then kind of take the foot off the gas for whatever reason. I think that's youth. And then the other team will come back. Like last week, they got a quick start and held on to win. So that's something. I mean, if they can get a quick start against Tuttle, can Tuttle have enough offense? No, Tuttle's defense is why they're the best team in 4A. But does Tuttle have an offense that could catch up to Wagner? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So I think it's going to be low scoring.
It's going to be low scoring, and that's something to watch for. If Wagner comes out, hits them with two quick scores, you know, can they maintain that momentum, which they haven't really done this season when they get out ahead quick, and can they – but does Tuttle have an offense that can catch up?
Then you got Blanchard and Poteau. Blanchard making the long trip down I-40 over to Poteau. You know, it's funny because it feels like all four of these games, maybe outside of the Elks and Grove, that one – of all four, it feels like Elk City and Grove has the most potential to be an absolute shootout, right?
The Blanchard?
No. Elk City and Grove feels like the one that has the best potential
for
both teams to score 30.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
You know, Poteau, Blanchard.
Although Poteau, I can see scoring some points.
But don't you figure it's going to be a hard, another
Blanchard,
defense, lower scoring, run the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, I think
unless I'm touting Poteau because I got him in my finals.
Oh, so. I know. You've got him.
I'm not jumping off my pick. Come on.
think it's going to be fun, though. All four of these games, to me, have the potential of being quick.
Well, let's hope so for our
quick.
Sake.
Quick games. Run the ball. Run the clock. Boom, 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 boom. Down in Class A, we already talked about head coach Naberg on with Burns Flat, Deal City, hosting Elmore City Purnell. A couple others just kind of caught my eye. Cashin and Hooker, defending champs against Hooker, who was undefeated until the last week of the season when they dropped that game to Fairview. That ought to be a fun one. And then Fairview, speaking of them, and Tonkawa, kind of a northern Oklahoma battle there with Tonkawa coming to Fairview. A couple of the Class A games that I think are kind of juicy. But, man, the 4A slate looks as good as anybody's.
It does.
Just it does. Really intriguing matchups.
And I know everyone says last week's win was an upset, but I think the best eight teams have advanced.
Let's hope so.
I really do.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be interesting. Going to be real fun.
I noticed you jumped right off my food recommendation.
Oh, but when you gave me a list of stuff.
Yeah.
I've Googled some of these.
I went further down the rabbit hole.
Where'd you go?
Do you like pizza?
Oh.
That place looks pretty good. We'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Barry White here, Skinny. We all know it's your birthday today, big boy. You know it's going to be a good day when you wake up and Kara's already got a cold beer on your nightstand. Your lunch pail is packed. And a nice big juicy steak marinating on the counter for tonight after work. Keeping your birthday on the down low? Not with Barry White. Not a chance, Skinny. Happy birthday.
The Skinny on Sports.
Get up, Barry White.
Goodness gracious.
Impressionist. My goodness.
Thank you for whoever did that. Now, you know, it's funny because I appreciate the birthday wishes. Thank you. And now I'm thinking, all right. I've got to replace an ad for that advertiser who missed that one.
Well, you'll get it done.
Isn't that?
That's how you think, right?
That's how my mind works.
I'm with you. I do the same thing.
My mind.
As far as, okay, now what do I got to do? You know, I'm already thinking 2 days ahead what I got to do.
I'm already thinking, gosh, I owe them one.
It is your birthday.
It is.
It is. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I won't say how old.
41, you know? It's amazing.
I say it's 40 fun.
When you get older, you know, I woke up this morning, and all of a sudden my shoulder hurt again. I'm like, really? Did I just sleep wrong? What happened? Why am I breaking down?
Well, it's your birthday, so your wife should give you a massage tonight.
Yeah, her neck hurts. That's what I told her. I said, because she's getting closer to a milestone birthday.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, yeah. That's what it's like when you turn this age.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Probably in trouble.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear that? That flushing sound? It was my chances going right down there.
Come on. It's your birthday. It's the one day you say, hon, I
know. You know.
It's my birthday. That's all you got to say for everything. Hey, can you do the dishes? It's my birthday.
Yeah. That's
doesn't fly anymore.
You live in a different place than I do.
Well, it doesn't work in my house. I'm.
The good news is I won't have to cook my own dinner. We did that. We got it all prepared. A little lasagna kind of marrying together so we can just put it in the oven. And
sounds good.
Yes, I cannot wait.
Sounds great, actually.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate the birthday wishes for everybody. You want to go, we rank the jobs. You want to go Texas Tech right quick?
Yeah.
All right, so just before you, I mean, I know you've kind of read what they said. I've heard what they said. But when you first saw Bob Bowlesby suspends Texas Tech radio crew for a game, kind of what were your initial thoughts on the Big 12 commissioner suspending a school's radio crew?
Well, it better have been something big, as my thought was, what did they say? And my, you know, honestly, my first thought being a radio guy was, well, they cussed, or they, you know, this is just it's policy. You cuss, you're off, you're suspended. So then I dug a little deeper because the first thing I read was the press release from the Big 12 office. So you're not going to get exactly what they said. So, you know, I did what everyone else does, search social media.
Does anybody have it? Can I hear it?
Yeah, I never heard it, but I read like a transcript of it and everything. And after reading all of it, and I thought, yeah, they deserve to get punished for what they said.
Lucky for you,
what's
Jared.
Here's what's crazy. It came in a win, but I know they won on a last second field goal and all that. But
whoa, what was that?
I don't know, but now my ears are ringing.
Oh, that must have been a message popping up.
Our new text thing. Well, I'm going to mess with the settings on
that. All right, so here's how it sounded. And listen, this is 2 minutes of what was about 8 straight minutes of a lot like this.
I'll say it right now. The Big 12 does not want Iowa State to lose this game.
Yeah, Bob Bowlesby, you need to answer to this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen some horrendous calls today.
This is ridiculous. Unbelievable. The inconsistency of this referee crew in favor of Iowa State today. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Unbelievable. Well, I just hope the Tech can come back out after this, score another one, and put this one to bed so this officiating crew can sleep tonight.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
One of the officials from the far side came running over to the head official, and now there's a discussion.
Yeah, they're over there talking to Matt Campbell. They're saying, hey.
They're also talking to Sonny Cumbie over here as well. They're going to review something.
Well, maybe the referee has a concussion and he needs to get a trainer because he's acted like it this whole game.
There's something about what's going on the far side of the field that they do not like.
Everybody's kind of looking here, palms up, not trying to figure out what. Yeah, they're looking over here.
Sure.
We need to be careful because could Bob Bowlesby come get us for replaying it?
We don't work for the Big 12.
Okay,
we don't work
I'm
for
just
any
making
school.
Sure.
Now, we're fine.
And there was an expletive. Is this? That's
No. It's not in here.
Okay. I'm just watching out for us. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I didn't just play this all willy nilly.
You're smart. I know. I just figured it's your birthday. You forgot. Okay.
I had to cut it up to get it all in.
I see.
And Chris, this is another ridiculous thing about this officiating crew. Take control.
Yeah.
Get on the microphone and explain what's happening.
Now they're going to take a TV timeout. Guys,
you know, get on the microphone and explain what is happening so that the fans understand and that they can be told and that everyone else here can understand and be told.
This has been a remarkable day and a remarkably horrible day of officiating by this crew.
Yeah, the Big 12 should be embarrassed. The Big 12 should be embarrassed with this crew. And you know, we've only pointed out two guys. I'm going to read them all to you.
Ooh.
Michael Vanderveld, the referee, the umpire, Robert Richeson, John Braun, the head linesman, the line judge, Darren Deckard, Robert Asel, the field judge, side judge, Fulton Carson, Brian Ernest, the back judge, the center judge, Chris Talent, and Gene Semko, the replay official. That is your officiating crew, people, that is completely out of control here.
I mean,
I'll admit, one time I wanted to do that, and you quickly snatched the card away from me. I won't say where, but we've all wanted to do it as broadcasters, right? We've all wanted to say exactly what's on our mind. We're guilty of it one time, right here on this radio station. But yeah, that they should have known they're going over the line. I mean, these guys are professional broadcasters.
You know, I
get the frustration. I totally get it.
I think I saw
the situation. I totally get the frustration, but we got to be more professional than that.
I think there is a duty in that job at the field to let your listener know what's happening.
Absolutely.
And I think there's always going to be a natural slant to the way that happens, depending on which side of the fence it's on. I'm sure the Iowa State side, if you listen to that exact same moment in time, was probably complaining about the Tech fans and how unruly they were. And which, by the way, two sections of students were escorted out of the stadium. Total sections.
Right.
Were asked to leave. Well, were made to leave. I'm with you. I mean, it's one thing to mention it. It's another thing for it to last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. I know people are going to jump on the calling them out by name. That happens every game. It just happens at the first.
Right.
If
today's officials are this guy, it's not. So these are who you go get if they mess up a call.
Yeah. It doesn't normally happen there in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes to go. Oh, let me remind you guys who these guys
are. We've had officials in our broadcast, before the broadcast, we've had them come up to us, give us a card or a paper, go, hey, guys, this is who we are. You know?
Yeah. And it'll happen every time from now on. No, Hunter had it last week where they just handed him the card down on the sideline.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's in. It's inexcusable. When I first saw it, without hearing that, I was like, I'm kind of like Billy. He said, for my first thought was, God, they're soft. He's so soft. Being Bob Bowlesby, he's so weak.
Sure.
That was my first thought too. Was, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? But then once you think about the connection, I mean, and I was also thinking, how can he do that? What right does he have? But I, you know, those guys are employees, I suppose, of the university, which means they're probably subject to the same conduct code of as the coaches and the players are. Does that mean then now that he can he fine them the way that he would have fined Sonny Cumbie after the game for criticizing officials? Does it get that far?
Could.
And so then, I mean, at
the
that
grand
point,
scheme of things, they're underneath that umbrella. Sure.
At that point, could. I'm going to have a problem.
I think
with overstepping bounds.
I think they've done enough.
You also wonder if this crew had been, if these guys had been warned about this, because it does seem. I mean, listen, that was pretty harsh. But also, if that's the only, I mean, if there wasn't a prior warning or something like that, it seems a little ridiculous.
I see. Yeah.
You know, but, so maybe this listen, wasn't the first time.
But listen, maybe there's.
Could be a policy.
They should have read their contract a little closer or you know, known the radio policy of the Big 12. You know, that's their responsibility to know.
Yeah.
You know, there's your warning right there.
Yeah, I'm sure the calling out names of both the radio or the officiating crew and Bob Bowlesby probably.
Yeah, that didn't help anything.
That probably didn't sit well.
No.
But, I mean, just from the announcer side of it, I bet that felt good. Because, like you said, you want to do it every now and then.
Yeah, and we get it. It was an emotional game because I think that win put him in
bowl eligible.
Bowl eligible. It's been a weird season for Tech, firing a coach in the middle of the year, all that stuff. So I get it. Totally get the frustrations there. And, yeah, you're right. We've all wanted to do it. But you got to have a level head. You got to be a professional.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
You got to be a professional.
It's when I saw that.
It was hard for us last week to be professional in a good way because we were being fans, you know?
Yeah.
And we knew. We were like, oh, God, we were going crazy, going nuts. But it was hard for us because we're right there next to the fans. We weren't going crazy on refs or anything like that.
No.
But there is a professionalism to it that we strive for. They clearly threw that out the window.
Yeah, there's a certain crew that gigs me for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we're
and I didn't notice that in the – I know it's a Newcastle game.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until I think you pointed out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
Just kind of waiting. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.